This is Digital Story Podcast number 963, September 3rd, 2024. Today's theme is Print Black and White Like a Pro. I'm Derek Story. Seeing a gorgeous black and white print emerge from your inkjet printer will make you fall in love with photography all over again. And you don't have to spend $1,000 on a fine art printer to experience this. In fact, by following the tips in today's podcast, you can get your Ansel Adams on with gear you already own. All of this and more on this week's TVS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. I just wrapped up our online inkjet printing workshop. The last online workshop, by the way, for 2024, because now we have two physical workshops coming up. One in Durango next month, and then the following month here in Sonoma County, where we go to Safari West and do some wine country exploration and lots of other great stuff. So I was thinking, after finishing the printing workshop, I was going, it would be fun, as I often do, to share a few tips from that workshop, just so you could have a few takeaways, even though you weren't able to attend. And of course, those of you who did get to attend, I thoroughly enjoyed having you there, and consider this a bit of a refresher, right? So I'm going to focus my thoughts on black and white printing, because there's something about using your inkjet printer to produce beautiful, and I mean beautiful, black and white prints. It sort of takes a simple printer to a whole different place. It's like, oh, now it's a fine art machine, right? Because a lot of times with our color work, what we're printing is, you know, snapshots for the family, maybe some scenics that we want to see hanging on the wall. You know, those kinds of things. But a lot of times I don't think, especially with our everyday printers, our everyday inkjet printers, we're thinking about fine art. And the minute you get a wonderful black and white print emerging from that humble multifunctional printer, you're going to see it in a whole different light. You really are. It's really exciting. And I'm going to gear this conversation toward everyday multifunctional printers. The newer ones are better, obviously, because, you know, they have updated printer drivers, the software's become more sophisticated, those sorts of things. In particular, I'm working with the Canon Tank printer. One of the reasons why I like this printer, in addition to that it's very low cost to operate because of the tanks, it has a gray ink in addition to photo black. And then it still has four other colors. It has red, cyan, magenta, and yellow. Really nice. And when we print black and white with our inkjet printers, when I say that the software is really good, the software is really good in the sense that sometimes it will even use some of the color tanks to give you that black and white that you want. And that, my friend, is smart software. This will work with many of the multifunctional printers that are out there. Epson, of course, makes great ones. Canon makes other great ones other than the G620. HP, of course, Lexmark. So it sort of depends. But I think the one thing that you will want, if you want to do some black and white printing with your humble printer, is that you will want at least one gray. With my Pro 100, my Canon Pro 100, I have more ink tanks, and it prints very nice black and white. But when you do them side by side, I have to say, even though the Pro 100 is a pro-level printer and the G620 is a humble printer, multifunctional, the black and white from both of them looks really good. So, and of course, if you have a pro printer, a lot of these tips will help you as well. All right, so let's get into the actual discussion of how to make terrific black and white prints. I'm going to break it into three parts. So I'm going to talk about the printer itself, I'm going to talk about paper, and then I'll talk about computer and software. So those are our kind of our three components, a three-legged stool here. And let's start with the printer. So as I mentioned earlier, you want to have at least one gray ink to help you get those nice mid-tones so that you're just not having black ink and the printer has to do all the emulation. It actually has a gray ink to sort of help it out. And if you have two gray inks, like a light gray and a dark gray, that's fantastic, right? So the more black and gray you have, the better. That's the bottom line on this. But one gray ink will go a long way because, again, the software is so smart. Now, you can let the printer manage the colors for black and white printing, and they do so very well. So the whole thing about using ICC profiles and all of that, that is great, and we went through all of that in our workshop. But for black and white printing, a lot of times you can just let the printer do the work and they will provide you with nice black and white prints. Now, if you have a pro model, Epson or Canon, it will actually have an advanced black and white setting. And you can use that setting for your black and white printing and it will even give you some options within that. But again, that's basically a printer managed setting just geared toward black and white printing. So it's okay. This is the one time where it's just fine to let the printer do the heavy lifting and manage the quote unquote colors. Really what we're managing is gray. But remember, there may be some color in there. You just can't see it unless you look through a loop. Now, even though the pro models will have an advanced black and white printing option section, a lot of the consumer models may have something like a slimmed down version of that, you know, print black and white or, you know, don't print in color. It's funny, on the G620 that I'm using, it basically has a slider switch for printing in color or not printing in color. And I did some testing on this and it doesn't seem to really make any difference when I'm sending a black and white print to the printer. Now, if I was taking a color print and sending it to the printer, then of course, and I wanted it to be black and white, then I would use that little toggle switch to print in black and white. But I don't recommend doing that because, you know, what we want to do is set up our image first, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, set up our image first for the kind of black and white that we want. And then we're going to send that file to the printer. And when you do that, at least with my multifunction here, it doesn't make a lot of difference if you turn on or off the black and white printing. I just leave it on color and the black and whites come out fine. And I actually even did a test on it today and I can't tell the difference. So, but it's nice to have those advanced black and white options if you have a pro model, which lets you do some toning, adjust contrast, things like that. Other than that, the printer is very straightforward. And again, what I'm looking at more and more these days are the tank printers for the multifunction ones, just because they're so easy to operate. And if I can get six tanks for a $220 printer, boy, I'm a pretty happy kid. And that's what I'm working with this new Canon. All right, let's get to paper now. It goes without saying that I'm using Red River paper, and all of this discussion will be about Red River paper. The type of stock that you choose is really important. And what I mean by that is that the white of your paper will be the white of your photo. Printers don't print white, right? The paper is the white. Now, you may not think there's a lot of difference in your printing papers that you have available to you at home in their whites. You know, you go, well, isn't white white? Well, no, it isn't, and especially when it comes to printing papers. And a fun test that you can do is pull out the paper stocks that you have right now, set the box down, pull out one sheet, set it on top of that box, and do the same thing with each one that you have. Put them on a table and look at how different those whites are. They will be very different as you go from different stock to different stock. Whatever you want for your white in your black and white print, that's the paper you want to choose. I tend to like the crisp blue whites. Some people like the warmer whites. And sometimes it depends on the print itself, on what the subject matter is. Be in tune with the white of your paper stock because that's going to be the white of your print. the Red River paper, some of the cool-toned papers are Arctic Polar Luster, Ultra Pro Satin or Gloss, and Polar Matte. So those tend to be the cool-toned papers, and there are more, but those are three of the biggies. Now, on the warm-toned papers, Palo Duro Satin, Aurora Art Natural, and Blanco Matte Canvas, those are all warmer tones. I would have both cool-toned papers and warm-toned papers available so that you have all of your options open. And for example, let's say that you shoot a barn, an old barn that's in a field. It's really lovely barn. It's got lots of texture. You have a nice setting around it. And it really gives you a nostalgic feeling when you look at this shot. Well, in my mind, even though I normally print on cooler tone papers, that's a shot that I think I would want to print on the warmer paper, Aurora Art Natural or Palo Duro Satin, because I want to give it sort of that nostalgic warm tone that we think of a lot of times when we look at those shots. So even if you normally like one look over another, it's good to have both looks on hand because you never really know what you're going to want to do with a shot until you're sitting down and working on it. And believe me, those prints would look different on the cooler tones versus the warmer toned paper. They'll be completely different. I mean, not completely different, still a barn, right? Still a landscape. But the whites are really going to drive a different feel. And then it comes to play in the gray areas too, in the midtones as well. So warm paper, cool paper, keep that in mind. Now, the other thing about paper that I'll say is that the glossy papers and the satin papers tend to achieve deeper blacks than the matte surfaces. So if you want a deep black in your black and white print, a really kind of black, then you want to look at probably glossy or satin. Now, a lot of people ask me, well, what's the difference between glossy surface and satin surface or a luster surface? Well, a satin paper or a luster paper starts out as a glossy surface, and then it just has a texture added to it. So essentially, satin, luster, glossy, those are basically all the same in terms of the kind of blacks you're going to get. What comes into play, though, is how reflective or shiny that surface is. And the reason why I like satin and luster papers is they don't reflect as much distracting light, right? Ambient light, picking up a light source in the room or whatever. The satin and lusters don't reflect as much as glossy. Glossy seems to pick everything up. So even though you can get a really nice deep black with a glossy, it may be picking up reflections that downplay that black. Whereas you can get a black that's just as good with satin and luster and maybe have less distracting reflections. So that's why I like those. And then, of course, the matte papers, that's a whole different look. When you're thinking about the emotion you want to elicit with that black and white shot, maybe you want something a little bit more subdued. Maybe you want something that isn't as contrasty, where the blacks aren't as deep and the whites aren't as bright. And maybe you want something like a matte paper that really has that wonderful texture and feel to it. So all of these choices, you know, really make a big difference on the final product. So you're looking at both the color of the paper. Is it bluish or is it more yellowish? And then how deep are the blacks, you know, due to is it glossy or is it matte? All those sort of things come into play. And what you want to do is get the right combination for the image that you're going to print. Finally, now, computer and software. First thing that you need to do when you're going to edit for printing is dim your monitor to about 50%. Your monitor is a backlit display. What comes out of the printer is reflective. Two different worlds. Well, the way that you can, you know, bring those worlds closer together is by dimming your monitor. And when you do that and you edit your image with the monitor down about 50%, what will come out of the printer in terms of tones will be much closer to what you're seeing on the monitor than if you have it up like 80 or 90%. Then that print is going to come out looking dark to you, right? So dim your monitor down to about 50%. Next thing you want to do is make a virtual copy of the image that you're going to print. You don't want to work on your master. When you're editing for printing, that's a whole different ball game. Your master is more, generally speaking, for viewing on electronic devices. This is going to be for reflective surfaces. So make a virtual copy of it, and then you can just do what you want to do to it, and you don't have to worry about having to re-edit your master later on. First thing I like to do is crop the image to fit the paper size or to fit the proportions that I want. So if I'm going to be making a very nice 11 by 14 print, if I'm going to go full frame, if I'm going to go edge to edge, then I want to crop my image 11 by 14 so that there's no surprises when that image comes out of the printer, right? So the printer has positioned your image correctly on the paper because you've already set those parameters. Crop the image to the proportions that you want. And again, this is your virtual copy that you're editing for printing. Next, you want to convert your color image, if it starts out as a color image, to black and white. And this is where the black and white presets in Lightroom are so nice. On One has fantastic black and white presets. Or you may want to do something like put the image in SilverFX Pro, where you really have some great black and white tools to work with. That's what I use personally, SilverFX Pro. I'm using version 6 right now. Or you might want to do something like DxO Film Pack, which also has some great black and white looks. But you really want to edit this thing in black and white, right? You don't want your printer to convert it to black and white. You want to send a black and white file that's as close as to what you want to the printer, and then let the printer do its thing from there. And again, the presets in most of the apps, Capture One Pro too, also has great black and white presets. They're called styles in Capture One Pro. But use something like that or SilverFX. Get that image, just get it so you're excited about it on the screen. And then I'm pretty sure you'll be excited about it when it comes out of the printer. When you're setting up your print job, make sure that you set the correct media type. That'll be in the print dialog box, and this is critical to the image being printed correctly, the right amount of ink going on the paper, because media type, you know, would be luster or glossy or matte, you know, whatever you happen to be using. That determines how much ink goes on the paper so that the proper amount of ink goes for the type of surface that you're printing on. So of all the settings that you do in the print dialog box, the media type is super important. And then when it's time to make your final print, do the best quality settings so you can get the most out of that image when it goes onto the paper. Then finally, let those prints dry down for 10 minutes before making any judgments. You'd be surprised at how much they change from the time you see them coming out of the paper tray there to the time they dry down 10 minutes later. They'll get better. They get better every time as they dry down. And then look at them under a nice, soft, diffuse light, something that's relatively neutral, you know, daylight, as we like to call it. And that's the best way to view your images once they've dried down. Then, if you want to make any adjustments, you can do that based on the dry down version of the print. And then remember, you're only working on the virtual copy of the image, not the master file itself. The last tip I have for you is that when you get a print out of the printer the way that you like, make some notes on the back of that print and then put that in the box of paper. So if you're printing on, you know, satin paper, you get one of those images and it's exactly the way that you want or so close, make all the notes on the back, all the settings, everything that you can think of, every variable that you can think of, make that note on the back of the print and then keep that print in that box of paper. What will happen is next time that you go to print on that paper surface, then you have that guide print there as a starting point, and it'll save you sheets of paper and it will save you ink up the road. Alrighty. Printing black and white is a blast. It's one of the more satisfying things that we can do in photography. And regardless of the kind of printer you have, I hope you give it a try. I think you'll really like doing it. Canon Pro 1100 17-inch printer promises richer blacks and blues. This is an article on Petapixel, and I have a link in the show notes. So we were talking about consumer printers earlier and how much you can get out of them. Well, if you really want to get serious and get into some fine art printing, Canon has just updated its Pro 1100, and it's a 17-inch printer, which means you can do nice big prints out of it. I'm going to read you a little bit about it, probably more aspirational for most of us, but it's nice to know what's going on in the world of printing. Canon has announced a new A2 17-inch class printer, the Image ProGraph Pro 1100. Through its 12 Lucia Pro pigment inks, so this is a pigment ink printer, the professional grade printer promises gallery quality prints at home or in a studio. The Pro 1100 succeeds the Pro 1000 announced way back in 2015, which is currently Petapixel's recommendation for the best photo printer for color accuracy. While the Pro 1000 also uses a dozen inks, the Pro 1100 uses brand new inks that promise deeper black levels and richer blues, especially dark blues, and smoother color gradation. The Lucia Pro 2 inks also include Canon's Chroma Optimizer, ensuring smooth reflections and anti-bronzing properties to prints. It is a safe bet that there's a new top choice regarding Petapixel's color accuracy printing recommendations. Looks like we have a video. Yeah, we have a video for the Pro 1100. They get into some of the details about pigment inks. So, you know, there's pigment ink printers, which tend to be more archival than the dye-based inks. My little multifunctional that I was talking about, the G620, that's a dye-based ink. They're good for 20 years, possibly more, depending on how the prints are managed. Whereas pigment ink prints can go over twice as long under the same conditions, sometimes up to 60 years, which is, you know, pretty cool, again, depending on how they're managed. And they also get into the different types of media that the printer accepts. And I'm looking at this thing here, and it is a big printer. So you're going to need to have some space for it. It has a pretty large footprint. And I'm also looking at a black and white print coming out of it that looks really good. Looks really good. This printer is available to pre-order today for $1,299. Impressively, this is the same price as the Pro 1000, launched in October of 2015. So again, if you want to get your serious gallery print thing going or archive print thing going, and you want to make some big ones, this is definitely a printer to look at. Can photography competitions help your progress as a photographer? This is an article on F-Stoppers, and I have the link in the show notes. Just going to read you a little bit about it here, and then we will talk. There are many photography competitions out there to enter regardless of your preferred genre. But will they help you improve your photography skills, or are they just for bragging rights? This video looks at photography competitions and what can help progress your photography. As photographers aim to improve their photography skills, they often encounter competitions where they can measure themselves and potentially gauge their progress as photographers. In past Q&A video, William Patino was asked if photography competitions were beneficial, and he answered that he did not think they were for most photographers. After receiving feedback on his reply, Patino revisits that answer to address it more completely. Patino advises that he doesn't think competitions are right for everyone. Sometimes it is simply the stage one in their photography journey that makes them prohibitive. For example, someone only a few months into their photography pursuit entering a competition against a seasoned professional can end up being more discouraged than beneficial. Patino also discusses some things to watch out for in competitions and advises that if you do enter a competition, choose wisely. Choose competitions judged by photographers and judges whom you respect in your genre. Also watch for image right grabs, where by entering the competition you give up rights to your image. While Patino clarifies his answer from the previous Q&A and acknowledges that competitions can have their place, the other tips he provides in this video are very helpful. They range from who is the best judge of your photography to steps you can actually take to progress through your photography. So it's kind of fun. It's a good video. And if you're thinking about competitions and you're thinking about, are they right for you? And if they are, you know, what kind of competition should you enter? I think there's a lot of good food for thought in this video, and it's really worth considering. I'm not against them at all. My feeling about photography competitions is that you need to set your expectations accordingly, right? Going into this thing and thinking that if you don't win or if you don't place, that your photograph is a failure. And a lot of times that just is not the case. And to give you a real life example, I was just at the county fair here where they have a gigantic photography competition every year. It's so much fun to go through that hall and look at all the images. And I look at how those prints were judged. And I have to say that I disagreed with a lot of them. And if I were a judge, I would have moved some third place ribbons to first place. And I would have moved some first place ribbons to third place or honorable mention. So, you know, it really does depend on the criteria being used to evaluate the images and who's doing that. And you just can't put, you know, your perception of who you are as a photographer in the hands of someone that you really don't understand where they're coming from in terms of judging. So again, set your expectations. That being said, they can be a lot of fun. And when you do succeed, let's say you do get that blue ribbon, that really feels good and you should enjoy it. So anyway, a pretty good article, pretty good video here on photography competitions. And I have a link in the show notes. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members, the people that support this podcast, this community, month in and month out. They have their own space on Derek's Story Online where they get to compare notes, share pictures, all that good stuff. We're getting ready for a new photo challenge because we're into a new month now. Every month we have a photo challenge where people share images based on a theme. It's nice to have an assignment, right? It's nice to have something, a prompt, shall we say, so that you go, okay, let me see what I have that pertains to this theme. And you kind of either dig through your stuff or you go out and you shoot something fresh. It's just good to keep the photography juices flowing. And that's just one of the things that we do on the Inner Circle. If you're interested in joining us, click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can nose around there. Sign up. Please sign up because you will enjoy it. And then soon you'll be getting an email from me welcoming you to the Inner Circle site on Derek's Story Online. And a huge thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. And finally, I want to give a big pat on the back to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. And, you know, I was talking about printing today, and I have learned so much from the folks at Red River Paper, and specifically Drew, but other Red River Paper photographers. Matt Suisse is another one that I have learned so much from. You know, Matt Suisse did a talk for us on black and white printing. And it was super educational, and I learned stuff from him. And he reminded me of stuff I hadn't thought about in a while. Great to have a resource like that. And then we take that information, put it into our online workshops, but I also bring it into the podcast here. A lot of information in this podcast is based on things that I've learned through my association with Red River Paper. So their benefit to us reaches way beyond their excellent paper, and I'm so happy to have them as a sponsor. That being said, getting some paper and getting that variety of paper so that you have your options open when you go to make a print, that all happens by starting by clicking on the tile that's on every page of the digital story, the Red River Paper tile. It'll take you to our landing page, and there you will see a code that gives you free shipping for your order. And you just use that StoryShip code, and then you will get free shipping on your order. The holidays are coming up, and you want to have paper on hand because nothing makes a better last-minute gift than a set of fine art greeting cards or a beautiful print on Red River paper. A big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. Right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed this show. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, stay safe, be creative, take some pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.